This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm doing all right. I'm eyeing your dog right now. She's getting very close to the recording equipment. Last week, during a recording session, she turned down the microphones and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, she's hissing, too. She does that when she's mad. I don't know why she's mad. I think she's mad at the pod, at the whole this whole endeavor. She's had enough.
She's not alone, my friend.
I mean, she's been here for like, I don't know, at this point, probably like a majority of the episodes, right?
When did you get her?
2013.
Wow.
Now.
Yeah.
So 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't always recorded in my home, but a lot of it we have.
Man, a lucky dog, a first person or first dog view at history in the making. Ginger, get away from the equipment. Jesus.
She's dragging her bed into the equipment. And it's like, and you know, the equipment, you're making it sound like we have like a rack of monitors and all kinds of stuff. We have like one pretty small thing, does not take up very much room, but yet, Tim, can you put the blanket on top of her? That's what she's trying to do. Yeah. Well, maybe if you were a little bit easier at understanding her, we wouldn't have all this. See, now she's fine. She's under the blanket.
I'm here to cater to a dog, Tom. I came here to have some real cool, entertaining conversation with you.
Now, Tim, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, you dropped some big news on the Patreon, and now that, you know, we've raked in all the cash that we're going to get from that.
Right. We should make more exclusive. You know what we forgot to do, though?
What?
Tell anybody that there was going to be an exclusive announcement on Patreon.
Right. Oh, so maybe we should just say that. And now, no. Tell people what your announcement is. Tim's having a baby. I'll tell them.
Yeah. I'm not going to announce something like it affects anybody who doesn't know me.
I guess it doesn't affect anybody.
Hello, everybody. Prepare.
Yeah, get ready.
There's going to be a baby in the house that I live
in. Yeah, so the episode's coming soon. I have a lot of crying in them, a lot of goos and gahs.
I think my wife will be very happy to have me out of the house for an hour.
Yeah, especially if you take the baby to come record.
I don't think she would like that.
Ginger will take care of the baby.
Ginger will take care of the baby?
Ginger's taking care of so many puppies, Tim. She could take care of one human baby.
Yeah.
But I do have a slight quibble, Tim. I noticed, as you know, as I mentioned, you brought this up on the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
You drop the news finally, because I've been you know having to bite my tongue.
Yeah, well, why?
I don't know, because I didn't want to be the one that announced it. I guess I was in this episode though.
Yeah, and remember, we had I told you, if you're going to talk about this, please don't be weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, and I was about to say something weird, and I didn't.
Yeah. No, I know, and that's why I just wanted
you're
to remind
just
you.
Just reminding me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wanted to say this, though, Tim.
Congratulations. Thank you. We're very excited.
Well, it's along those lines. You know, on the Patreon comments, a lot of people congratulated you. Not one congratulations for me.
For becoming a guy that knows a guy
with
a kid.
I mean, come on. It's just like you got all these congratulations. Double digits of congratulations on there. And not one person could say, hey, also, congratulations, Tom.
For what exactly?
For being friends with a guy having a baby.
I mean,
I assume I'm going to be the godfather.
In as much as, okay.
I assume any child you have, if something unfortunately happens to you and your wife, you would want me to raise it.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure you have to talk to your wife about it, but, you know, just get her official okay. But,
yeah, exactly. Of course, I can think of nobody else. Let's just get her sign off just to make sure.
Yeah, just make sure we're all on the same page.
But, yeah, okay, fine, yeah. Do you plan on... Oh, here's a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll be Uncle Tom?
Well, I mean, Uncle Tom has connotations to it.
Uncle Tommy.
Yeah.
Or would you rather be... Because Uncle, like, you're not the kid's uncle.
Right.
What about Mr. Tom?
Well, I don't want to be Mr. Tom.
Why not Mr. Tom?
Because that sounds like if you know, your kid's, like, at school one day and they're like, oh, yeah, my parents had their friends over the other night, Laura and Mr. Tom.
No, Mr. Tom and Miss Laura. Or ma'am and Mr. Tom.
Well, Tim, I've told you multiple times, you can't raise this kid like Webster, no matter how you don't
this
have...
kid is going to be raised as a Webster.
Well, you better get a dumbwaiter installed ASAP.
Yeah. I mean, that's when we move from our apartment to a big mansion for some reason.
Yeah, and there was like an old decrepit mansion.
Yeah, I don't understand.
We're talking about the popular television show Webster.
Yeah, probably 1985 to 1989.
Probably somewhere around there.
Yeah. Good show. Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh, was it a good show? I mean, or were we just kids and it was like, oh, that kid can ride a dumbwaiter up and down. That
Patrick Ewing
fun.
Was on an episode.
All right. Every kid loves the acting of Patrick Ewing.
Yeah. Gregory Hines was on an episode.
Gregory Hines was on like an episode of everything in the 80s.
Yeah.
So you've decided on the name Webster, though, at least.
That would be awesome, actually.
You can call him Webb for short.
Or Webby. Like the awards.
Yeah.
Tom.
Right.
You know, hey, well, people might... it's the only way I'm ever going to get a Webby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At this rate.
Yeah.
who do I got to pay to get a Webby around here? I've been aspiring to win a Webby.
Can imagine you telling the doctor, like, what name should we put on the birth certificate? Put Webster's. Hey, it's the only way I'm going to get a Webby. And then just somebody politely laughing, not knowing what you're talking
Nobody
about.
Nobody would and politely like, laugh. Ah,
and then just walking away and immediately putting your baby up for adoption. They can do that sometimes, Tim. They have a...
if you name them something and make a joke
about
the name.
If it's a bad name, they can just...
I mean, Webster, naming him Webster alone wouldn't...
Webster wouldn't be bad, Tim, because, like, you know, nobody knows what, like, Webster's dictionary is anymore. Kids don't, at least. I barely do.
Right. It's a dictionary.
So they wouldn't be teased about that. It's a boy, too, if I can also say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I've already said it. I don't know if you know yet, but I've been told it's a boy.
Yeah, you've been very active looking at the sonograms, really poring over them.
Yeah, I'm like, no, look, right there it is.
And it's like, Tom, I know.
So, yeah, Webster, they might, other kids might associate that with Spider-Man. And be like, whoa, this kid's Spider-Man.
Why? Because like web slinger?
Yeah. The web head. The old web head.
Web, what do they call him? Webster Parker?
Well, they don't call him Webster. But yeah, so if anybody out there wants to congratulate me about this, I'd appreciate it.
Tom, are you fishing for me to congratulate you about this for some reason?
No, not you, Tim. I wouldn't expect it from you, but
do you expect
your life
to change at all?
Yeah, probably you'll be crankier than usual.
Yeah, I will be.
It's probably going to affect my life more than anyone.
I don't know if that's true. Well, you know, we should, this should be an off-air conversation, but we should bank some episodes so I'm not here cranky when I should be with my newborn child.
No, Tim, if people listen to this for timeliness. They okay. want something fresh.
How about this? We uh-huh. we do some rotating co-hosts.
Who are they going to be?
Do we know any celebrities?
Not really.
No.
Not A-list celebrities, at least.
I mean, we can shoot. Who would be your ideal? Like, hey, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You've threatened it. You've talked about it a lot. Who would you replace me with? Now, to put your money where your mouth is.
Ben Affleck.
Get Ben Affleck here. Do you think Ben Affleck, do you think there's any way
uh-huh.
you can get Ben Affleck to sit down with you for an hour and record a podcast episode? Like, think about, like, unlimited resources. Right. What would it take to get Ben Affleck?
I could kidnap and hold anyone hostage.
Sure.
Because I think that's what it would take. I mean, or it would just take a tremendous amount of money.
Like what, like $800, $900?
Probably like $800, $900 for him to do it, Tim. Mm. I mean, if you think about how much he must make per hour making motion pictures, it's got to be way up there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely low triple digits.
Yeah, nowadays, Tim, I'd have to get another chair in here for J-Lo to sit in, because the two of them, they're joined at the hip.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
You might have to be like, can you stop rubbing lotion on this woman's posterior, please? That's
Tim,
what he's
I would
doing.
Never, I, yeah, I wouldn't ask him to do that.
Yeah,
that's rude.
He'd walk right out.
Yeah. Joined at the hips, sometimes joined at the lips, if you know what I mean. Smooching.
Kissing.
Kissing on.
Yeah.
Kiss. I saw a thing the other day.
Two kissers living on Kissing Island.
I saw a thing the other day. I guess they were in like Italy or France, one of those places. And somebody, some like lunatic came up, to J-Lo. And Ben Affleck, the bodyguards didn't get there fast enough. Ben Affleck had to step in as the bodyguard.
Wow. Do you think they fired those bodyguards?
Probably.
Here's what I say to the bodyguards. You had one job.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, I'm sure they beat the shit out of the guy. And
what
like
did he
Ben
do?
Affleck's like not going to beat the shit out of him. I mean, it could have been just like a guy looking for a picture with her,
mm-hmm.
but like from the photographs, it looked like he came like very aggressively at them. So,
where was this?
Like I said, Italy or France or one of those type places.
Europe.
Yeah. I don't know, Tim.
One of those type places.
They were walking the red carpet. Not at the moment, though. Right. They were like...
They might have been en route to the...
They might have been. No, they weren't dressed
to
the
nines.
They were at like a piazza.
Oh, piazza.
Mike Piazza.
Mike Piazza's house in France.
No, I said it could be Italy, too.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, from me and everybody else, congratulations.
Thank you, Tom. And to you? We have a great show today, and I'm excited to talk about movie soundtracks with you.
That's not like the format of the show usually, where we like hype up the next segment.
And to you, Tom,
mm-hmm.
I like the shirt you're wearing.
I was gonna get rid of this shirt. Actually,
it's not that good. It seems just ratty. It's not super flattering either.
You think if I came up to J-Lo wearing this shirt, Ben Affleck would get right in my face.
Well, here's the thing: the bodyguards would pick you up 100 yards away wearing that shirt.
Yeah, it's true. The bodyguards didn't clock this guy until it was too late.
No, they're you're on their radar as soon as you are.
Yeah, they're keeping an eye on me right now.
European city.
Well, I mean, I guess I did earlier insinuate that the way I would get him to be on this podcast is by kidnapping his loved ones. So, you know what? Fair. Hey, fair to not let me near them.
I don't think he's going to co-host, Tom. I think you're going to be out of... It's going to be you and Ginger hosting this show.
Hey, at least the IQ of the show will go up.
What do you mean?
The dog's smarter than you.
Yeah.
Tim, as you alluded to earlier, this week it's movie soundtrack week. Now, I'm not talking about scores. If you're here to hear Hans Zimmer or John Williams or Junkie XL.
They had to call him JXL on an Elvis remix he did in the early aughts.
Because of like
Elvis
family, was a junkie?
Elvis's estate.
Was it that little more closer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Elvis's estate didn't want junkie on.
Yeah. I mean, if the guy died being a junkie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure
I prefer to remember him as that young Elvis of the from the stamp that we all love.
I mean, I'm sure when you pass away one day, you don't want somebody named stuck on the toilet. DJ,
you think I'm gonna die stuck on the toilet?
DJ stuck on the toilet to come in and remix all of your stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Stuck on the
In this scenario, you die of starvation.
Okay, I mean that's a pretty bad way to die.
It's
on
a
the
freak
toilet.
Accident.
Like, I'm sitting down.
Yeah, I mean in this scenario, it's you got super glued to
was
the toilet.
Was the Elvis stamp as big of a deal as I perceived
as
it
like
to be?
The news led us,
or
to believe?
As like I was in fifth grade, you were in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Was that just like we weren't exposed to a lot of the news, or we just weren't interested goings on?
Yeah, I think like a lot of the news then, you know, in the like early 90s was like about the economy and like crime and Bill Clinton and stuff, and it was like, this is all boring, but it's like a stamp. Oh, I know that stamp.
I mean, a stamp. Now that's exciting. Or Elvis, who I didn't even particularly care for.
Yeah, I don't think it was, like, interesting. I think it was, like, the media was just, like, ravenous about the fact that they were putting out Elvis stamps. Like, there were, like, lines and people buying them like crazy.
I remember, like, late night was going nuts about it. Like every monologue was like wall to wall 15 Elvis stamp jokes in a row.
Yeah. I don't know. That's also, I feel like that was around the time, it probably wasn't, but maybe it was, that like the Death of Superman comic came out.
Yeah, it was.
It was like around the time.
Because I remember, same class, one kid came in wearing an armband, the black armband from the Death of Superman.
Yeah.
Another kid in my class, she came in wearing the Elvis stamp on a shirt. Like, it was a shirt that had the image of the Elvis stamp on it.
So
the
just like a
out.
Very tiny image. You'd
no,
have
no,
to
no,
probably
it was,
get
it
pretty
was,
close
it was,
to see
it.
It
was blown up to the fact where it took up the whole front of the t-shirt.
And now you're allowed to do that? Mail yourself somewhere?
Apparently.
If the stamp's big enough? They'll
no, it had, it had a big black X through it.
Oh, okay.
So you
big,
couldn't.
A big void.
Because otherwise they were like, yeah, you could just send anybody anywhere for free.
Right, just by having them put this shirt on. I think it was around the time that, like, boomers were made aware that, like, the shit they threw out as kids was now worth, like, a fortune.
Yeah.
But didn't completely wrap their head around, well, the reason why it's worth a fortune is because everybody threw it out. And if everybody kept it, then it wouldn't be worth a fortune. But companies like DC Comics and the post office were like, they don't know. We'll print up millions of these things and people will buy them because they think they'll one day be able to retire on this.
Right. But I'm going to retire on my Death of Superman.
I got bad news for you.
Do you still have yours?
Yeah.
I opened mine. Did I
oh,
tell you
I
this?
I have an open one and a sealed one.
Yeah,
at least one sealed
I
one.
I didn't think that far ahead. And guess what?
No, I mean, that was the brilliance of what they were doing, because it was like, yeah, people are going to want to buy two of these because they're going to want to read it. They're going to want to wear that armband.
And then nobody thought that, like, oh, you know what I'll do? Buy a video game.
Yeah.
Don't open that. Don't play the video game. Keep it in its wrapping, yeah. And that'll be worth like $10 million.
Exactly, and that's why those things are worth a fortune.
That's why I've started buying food. Haven't been eating it. Haven't been touching it. Haven't been opening it.
Yeah, one day that's going to be worth a lot of money. The same thing's starting to happen now with iPods.
Right.
Like if you have an old iPod that's still in the package, that's worth a fortune.
If it's a baseball card or if it's a comic book, there's nostalgic value there. These things brought me joy.
Yeah.
If you're like, ooh, a video game cartridge without not the actual game, like the iPod, the MP3 player that I loaded things on, I have such an. If you're buying it for that,
right?
Shut up. You're the biggest loser on earth.
Well, I don't know about that.
Whoever's creating the market for these things being collectors.
There's a whole thing about that. It seems like there's potentially a lot of fraught conflicts of interest.
Oh, really?
Where, at least for video games, like one of the big companies that's like doing the grading and like slabbing where, you know, they put it in like the acrylic that is like sealed with a hologram, that they were like pumping up the value of these things and then selling what they had. So it's like, oh, I have an original Mario, which I don't know, like came with all the systems, but let's say it's worth $1.5 million.
Right.
I don't know the whole thing about it, but that's part of it.
Hmm.
But
you would buy an original iPod for a lot of money, right?
No.
If you had a lot of money?
If I had a lot of money, I'd buy all kinds of dumb shit. Yeah I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about the iPod that's a little weird to me is just because, like, I don't know, if you have like an original iPod now and you open up that box, it's not going to work. Like the battery's probably like melted and stuff.
Right.
Where it's like a video game, like an old Nintendo game at least, it's like, oh, if you open that and put that in a Nintendo, it's still going to work.
But you wouldn't.
Right.
But Tom, we've gotten off track here. We're talking about movie soundtracks.
Yeah.
And we're not, I'm not sure if you said this, we're not talking about John Williams.
No,
we're
I didn't say it. Thank you.
We're not talking about Hans Zimmer. We're not talking even about Junkie XL here.
Did you know sometimes he was called JXL?
Yeah. Uptight estates for junkies that died on the toilet. We're not talking about Danny Elfman unless it's his work with Oingo Boingo.
Right, in which case we'll be talking all about it.
Yeah. As long as it's relevant to, we're talking about songs that appeared in movies, maybe were, quote, inspired by movies. You know, you go out and buy an album, you don't want to hear classical music, you want to hear pop and rock music.
Now, I was realizing as I was going through some of these that, A, this doesn't happen all that much anymore.
Yeah.
And B, it was just such a, like, blatant grab at the fact that in the 90s you couldn't buy singles, really.
Right. It was that, and it was the age of the media conglomerate. So it was suddenly the movie studio that was putting this out also had
a music
arm.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of artists that they wanted to promote using whatever via. So if they had a big blockbuster, it's like, hey, slap that.
Yeah, we can throw a few big singles on here, big new songs or old ones even, and then we can also use this to like promote our like upcoming artists.
Yeah, there's a reason why the Flaming Lips song "Bad Days" was on the Batman Forever soundtrack.
It's because it inspired the filmmakers to make Batman movie.
Not because they were on Warner Brothers Records.
No.
And, you know, Warner Brothers had just signed the Flaming Lips and were trying to bring them to a bigger audience.
No, I'm sure that probably after they were like, we should put this song on, it really inspired the movie.
Yeah. And somebody Joel Schumacher called us up.
Yeah,
and
then
like,
somebody was like, oh, you know, they're on Warner Brothers. And they're like,
the
oh, wow, that's a weird.
Clouds Taste Metallic lately.
Oh, that's a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
I guess that will make things a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's also, I find, rare that you, it still happens a little bit, but that you even have like a single in a movie.
movies now are all just about freaking needle drops.
Right.
Where it's just like, can
here's a song you know.
Yeah, and it will spell out exactly what's happening in the scene, probably in the lyrics or at least the song title.
Right. We're like, here's a Nirvana song like you haven't heard before because somebody else is playing it.
Right.
I mean, that's the new Batman trailer has, I think, Come As You Are, but it's like a different artist playing it.
Do those versions wind up on soundtracks these days? Are those versions released usually? Like that version
usually,
of Creep that was in the Social Network
mm-hmm.
trailer?
Yeah.
Was that released?
What was different about it?
It was like kids singing it or something.
Oh, was it? Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's a famous trailer, Tom. Why don't you learn a little bit?
I don't.
Why don't you learn a little bit about Social Network trailers?
Well, I don't like Social Networks, Tim. I'm trying to cut down on how often I use them. So watching a trailer, just trying to convince me to use them more.
Oh, no, you misunderstood. Well, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I assume so. Like, I think even when. Yeah, when they're using like those alternate versions, it's always been my understanding that it's like, oh, that was already something somebody made and they just like plucked it, which is why I assume like a lot of up and coming bands do that kind of stuff, because it's like, oh, we could, yeah, do like a slow version of some Red Hot Chili Pepper song, like a dour version, and maybe somebody will pick that up and use it in a movie trailer.
Yeah.
But to answer your question,
that trend must have started with Gary Jules' Mad World from Donnie Darko, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's probably the origin of that.
Oh, yes, they had piano versions of pop and rock songs from yesteryear.
Yeah. What was I? I was watching The Leftovers.
Gary Jules? One of my favorite artists.
It shows. I was watching, I just started watching The Leftovers, and the first season finale has one of those type songs. I forget what it is, but it's like an orchestral version of like a 90s song, which like, yeah, that's fine, I guess. Like sometimes it's a good choice, but like, yeah, I think at this point though, it's done so often that it's, I don't know. I would doubt that Creep is on, because that soundtrack was Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Right.
So I
you were going to say Atticus Finch, or?
Yeah. And I was like, which one's the lawyer? And which one's the
musician? Southern gentleman?
Now, which one represented Boo Radley? but... I think I can't imagine that soundtrack is like, here's like all this stuff that, you know, they like won awards for.
But that's the difference between
a score and a soundtrack. But Tom, I
got duped by
this happened to me
suicides.
As a kid all the time. Yeah.
I went out and bought, I was like, okay, I'm going to buy like the Air.
Yeah. You wanted
score.
The Air songs. Yeah.
And then like, there's like freaking like Supertramp songs on this thing and like Styx.
Ah.
And I was like,
oh, so you wanted the score, not the soundtrack.
I wanted the score in that. That was like the one instance where I wanted the
yeah,
score.
Yeah. Usually it happens the other way around. Yeah.
But, no, because like the soundtracks of the 90s.
Yeah.
They were filled with like, the
songs
bands
that
we like
nothing to do with,
and it was
the
like
movie.
It was like labels who were the movie companies also like trying to promote their bands, so it would be like B-sides from bands that
right.
like
yeah,
and we'll get into those soundtracks later. I'm not but like, so it was like, oh, this is the only way I could get
right
Weezer or Foo Fighters song.
Yeah, that, this like, was the only way it was put out, at least in America. A lot of times it was like, oh, in Europe or Japan, they put a single out with all these B-sides, but here it's going to be one song on an $18 CD that maybe if you're lucky, it's going to have one or two other songs you like. Maybe you'll discover like one song or one band on there that's good and you start listening to, but... For the most part, it's
discovered some bands through.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's filler. Like,
it's filler, baby.
Yeah. It's album. It's up-and-coming bands that aren't so up-and-coming. They ain't go anywhere. And it's like, this isn't
I wish they'd be up-and-going, right?
Well, that's what they did
get up
in a
and
lot
go,
of ways.
Is what I say.
But a lot of times it was like, they didn't even put that band's single on it. It's like, here's an album track
from some random band. Well, you know, they want you to buy the album.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I guess. But still, like,
they want to see. Here's the deal.
If it's a single that's already a hit, I'm saying if it's a band like that doesn't have any traction anywhere yet, but put their banger on there.
They did that sometimes.
Yeah.
But also more often, it would be like, oh, okay, we're going to put a U2 song that we're going to release as a single.
Yeah.
On this soundtrack.
Tim, are you only thinking of the Batman Forever soundtrack?
I'm trying not to to poison the whale too much for future conversation. But yeah, I'm usually only thinking about the Batman Forever soundtrack whenever I'm talking about any music.
Right.
You know what I just learned about the Batman Forever soundtrack?
What?
I'll tease it before we start actually talking about it.
Okay.
You know who the producer of it was?
Who?
The RZA.
Wow. Huh.
I don't know what he had to do with it. Do you think he was like, put Seal on this? He didn't like produce the track.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did he just get like a list of like Warner Brothers acts and was just like them and them and them?
Yeah, or maybe it was just like he was like the delegated agent that was like, hey, can you go, you know these guys, like can you, or like you don't know these guys, but like if you ask them, they'll say yes.
Right.
And as in exchange, we'll give you producer credit and
maybe
the requisite
compensation. Put his name on it. Like, it's all
that. Or that, too. Yeah. Yeah, because then it's like, oh, this isn't bullshit. RZA's the producer.
He never lent his name to anything.
Yeah, he was in the studio when all these tracks were recorded.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here. Yeah. I think we need to calm down. I'm going to go take a shower. Do you mind if I take a shower here?
Yeah, that's fine.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tim. Oh, I do want to say, actually, we just had a big off-mic conversation about the MCU. We didn't record it because people are sick of hearing you talk about the MCU. But the Black Panther soundtrack is a case of like a recent soundtrack being good and having like music that's actually in the movie, and Kendrick Lamar produced that, and it sounds like he actually was like pretty hands-on in selecting things. And
I think that's now the move when they do soundtracks, where
have like a big name
come in and be kind of the mastermind, because and then kind of I think there is some bit of cynical, like, okay, we need to get these artists in,
right?
But like, also, you know, these are actually songs that are inspired, or, you know, it's like, hey, this is for this Black Panther project,
right?
So let that guide
here,
you.
Here's some of the themes of the movie, and some
probably
of the,
not that far, but like,
yeah, no, but I remember like there is one song, at least one song in there that I remember like mentions vibranium, and it's like, that's enough, that's cool. You said vibranium, that's all. It's like, oh well, you can't put that on a regular album.
Kendrick Lamar, I guess, just emails a list of buzzwords from the movie.
Put in vibranium, Wakanda,
vibranium, punching,
claws, you know, kicking and punching, running real fast,
comic books,
the purple hard herb that he takes.
I haven't seen the film.
Well, all right, then I don't want to spoil anything.
It's next in my Marvel MCU watch through.
It's a natural version of the Super Soldier Serum.
Tom?
That turned Captain America into Captain America.
I've asked you not to spoil this for me.
Turn the Hulk into a bad version of Captain America.
Did I see that happen?
Probably. Did you watch the what's his name version of the Hulk?
Oh, the Ed Norton one?
Yeah.
No. God.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's like mentioned there. Basically, they're like, Bruce Banner's trying to recreate the Super Soldier Serum.
I'm not looking to rent any movies.
I'm looking to recreate the Super Soldier Serum. I know where that can lead.
The Hulk. That version isn't on Disney Plus.
Because it's like a Universal movie.
Yes, so I'm not going to go out and like spend $4.99 to rent what everybody says is a bad movie.
It's not that bad. I think both Hulk movies aren't bad at all.
The Ang Lee one?
Yeah.
I like the Ang Lee one.
Yeah, it's weird, but I like it.
I like weird movies. Yeah. All right, soundtracks.
Soundtracks.
You want to do our top fives?
Yeah, let's do our top fives, Tim. You start.
My number five,
The
first CD I ever bought.
Whoa.
The original motion picture soundtrack to the film, to Paramount Pictures, Wayne's World.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That is I had that on cassette, Tim. I wasn't fortunate enough to own a CD player yet. By the time I got a CD player of my own, I had to buy Weird Al Yankovic's Greatest Hits as my first album.
Weird Al Yankovic, Off the Deep End was my second.
Okay, good.
Tom, the hot tracks on this.
Yeah.
Track one opens up, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
By those fellas and queen.
Yep.
The lads from Liverpool.
And the lovable lads from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good example of like at that age hearing that and being like, whoa, this song rules, because Wayne and Garth like it. But being like, do I wanna buy A Night at the Opera? Like, am I going to like the other Queen songs on this? I've never, you know, at that age, it's like, I've never heard of any of these songs.
Right. Now, Tom,
I'm
going to go through some of the other songs, the other tracks. Just know that when I was 10 years old and bought this, I listened to very few of these tracks, actually. Like, I maybe listened through it once. I never listened to track two, Hot and Bothered by Cinderella. Or Rock Candy by Bullet Boys.
Yeah, I had this album on cassette, so it was harder to skip songs.
Yeah.
And I still don't recognize, those aren't bringing anything to my mind.
Then there's Dreamweaver.
Yeah, of course, that's
which great. I just thought was a funny song from the movie. Like, I didn't know that that was an existing song. I think I probably thought that about Bohemian Rhapsody, too. Like, these songs are funny. Like, they use funny voices in Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the falsettos and stuff.
Mike Myers and Dana Carvey are comedic geniuses. They wrote
and
these
they're
hilarious...
they're pretty good musicians.
Yeah. One track I did listen to a lot, Sicamica Nico by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't think I... How did that go? Now, was that like Blood Sugar Sex Magik B-side or something?
I think so. And you'll hear another one, which on a future pick of mine.
Okay.
Time Machine by Black Sabbath. Hey, we all love Black Sabbath.
Sure.
There was an extended version of the Wayne's World theme that G.E. Smith wrote with...
I remember that, yeah.
It was too long. I remember being like, I don't think there were any... It was just
it had
like,
verses.
Yeah, and it was just like, yeah, and maybe monkeys will fly out of our butts. Yeah, it was just their catchphrases.
Yeah, whereas like...
Chicks go mental when we walk down the street. It's Wayne and Garth that they want to meet.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this doesn't fit, guys. And then, Foxy Lady, which again I thought was a novelty song
right.
because of Garth's dance. Feed My Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's a badass song.
Alice Cooper, which like, is that like a real Alice Cooper song? Like, was that?
Yeah, I don't know if it was necessarily like a very popular song.
Oh, it was from a 1990. It was
like his new song.
Post-peak Alice Cooper. Rhino Bucket, Ride With Yourself. Take a long, long ride with yourself.
Was Feed My Frankenstein about his penis?
Hungry for love, and it's feeding time.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm going to say yes. your favorite artist, Eric Clapton, Lovin' Your Lovin'. But then there are two songs, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Sung by... the great artist, Tia Carrere.
Yeah.
Crucial Taunt.
Right.
These are ostensibly Crucial Taunt songs. Cover of Ballroom Blitz, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I prefer that to the original.
It's a good
Tia
cover.
Tia Carrere and Crucial Taunt's version of Ballroom Blitz rules.
Yeah.
Ow! Yeah! and then Why You Want to Break My Heart, which wasn't. I was
yeah,
like,
which
was
wasn't
ballad.
That good.
Great. Hey. 10 out of 10 soundtrack.
That reminds me of that I do love on soundtracks when it's like, no, we have the like in character version of this song. Because I know they just put out I guess maybe it was like a 10 or 15 year anniversary of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And they included the... Brie Larson version of a metric song that she sings on stage. But like, because Brie Larson used to be like a pop star when she was a teenager.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They like...
You know a lot about Brie Larson.
I know
you
that.
You know more than I know about Brie Larson.
I mean, that's like pretty much where my knowledge ends.
I don't know any facts about Brie Larson.
But I do know that fact, and I do know that it was like, for fans of the movie, it was like a big deal. Because obviously the movie she doesn't perform the full song.
Right.
But this has her full version of that song.
Right.
Black Sheep.
You're a big metric fan.
I don't know when they last put out an album, but I like
them. I mean,
them.
We don't listen to new music anymore. Yeah. So like,
I like Metric, as a band a lot. I saw them live twice, at least once, and they were very good. I know you say women can't front rock bands.
Tom,
but...
did you not just hear me talking about Crucial Taunt and how I prefer them to Slade? Yeah,
but you just wanted in movies. As fantasy.
One thing that really got my goat about this original motion picture soundtrack.
Yeah.
I'm watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They pull up to Stan Mikita's Donuts.
Yeah.
What song's playing in the movie in the background? Ugly Kid Joe's Everything About You. Yeah. I buy the CD thinking one of my favorite songs, Everything About You, and I hate everything about you. It's nowhere to be found on this thing.
Yeah,
and
that was
the first rude awakening. Not every song you hear in the movie is going to be on the soundtrack.
But I also feel like Wayne's World was in a weird situation because there are so many songs in Wayne's World that it was like the rare case of like, we're going to put every song in the movie on the soundtrack and we're not going to have enough room.
Right. I mean, they probably could have cut like 3 minutes out of the Wayne's World theme.
Yeah.
You wanted more Eric Clapton songs. You wanted to kind of put more of his more recent work. Like, can you get me some 2021 era
right.
Eric
can
Clapton
you somehow,
songs? Here?
And like, put an essay from 2020 Eric Clapton in
Yo,
there.
Or like 1976 Eric Clapton you were asking for.
Any
hey,
era.
Transcribe his rants from the stage.
I just want to hear his real thoughts about how society should be.
All right, Tom, what's your number five?
It's tough because
all of these, as far as I'm concerned, that I'm saying, they're all winners.
Yeah,
they're all Webby Award winners.
I don't know if I could necessarily put these in order. You know what? And I'm not even gonna talk about this one because it's just kind of it's like cheating, kind of. But the Purple Rain soundtrack.
I have that as my number one with a bullet. The note, does this count?
Right.
Because it's like
it's a real album.
And it transcends the movie.
Yeah.
Can I confess something?
What?
I've never seen Purple Rain all the way through.
Oh, it's good. It's a weird movie. Like it's worth watching for that. I've only seen it once all the way through.
But it's one of the greatest albums of all time.
Yeah.
And it's a movie that like might be like that up like I'll get around to watching it in its proper order at some point.
And it's also good because like the songs have they're like put in good context where it's like something happens to him and then it's like we need you up on the stage and he like immediately performs a song where it's like wow, that really captures the feelings that he has at this moment.
He was like repairing a blue computer and then they're like, we need you on stage. He's like, what do I sing about? Oh, computer blue.
Yeah, I thought it was that he had the computer blues.
Hmm.
Maybe he couldn't fix the computer.
Control, alt, delete.
It didn't work. I thought it was that, you know, he was having trouble and that's why. But yeah. I don't really know if that counts, but I mean, if it does, then I feel like it's almost like it has to be number one because it's just so, I don't know. It's a rare instance of a movie being like written around an album pretty much.
I would say like, does Superfly count?
I mean, that's the other thing, too. Like some
it's like when the soundtrack transcends, and when it's like a singular artist vision, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess that's really what it is. It's when it's a singular artist doing every song that album can exist without the movie.
Yeah. There's one more I can't.
Whereas we're talking about like weird conglomerations of songs.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Same thing with like, the Graduate soundtrack, which is just like the Simon and Garfunkel album.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're not talking about that. Hey, get in the shit pile with Hans Zimmer and non Oingo Boingo Danny Elfman.
Yeah. And JXL.
Yeah.
You can figure out what the J stands for
junkie.
Once you get
it
there.
It stands for junkie.
Once you get in that pile
in
and
the
he's
shit
like,
pile.
Hey, man, you carrying? You holding?
Hey, so Simon Garfunkel, Curtis Mayfield, and Prince, get in that shit pile. We're not talking about
We're loving
you.
All you together.
All right, so what's your number five then?
You know what? I'm going to say maybe the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
I would die for you. Oh,
what song is that?
The garbage song, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't write down all the songs, but listen to this fucking lineup. Garbage, Everclear, Butthole Surfers, Cardigans, Love Fool.
Wow, they did it.
Yeah, they put the banger in there. Radiohead Talk Show Host and Radiohead Exit Music for a Film.
Was that on the soundtrack?
Yes.
Wow. Same version from OK Computer?
I think so. And it was the exit music for a film.
Are you sure that was on the actual soundtrack?
I'm not sure, but it was in a listing that I read.
Not what I'm seeing. Oh, there's a volume one and a volume two. No, yeah. Volume two is just...
I think it might be on volume three.
You don't know shit, Tom. You're faking your way through
this. No, it was in this. It's in the movie, though.
Yeah, it's in the movie. What did we just talk about?
I don't know. I saw it on some
list. Was Everything About You on the soundtrack, too, by Ugly Kid Joe?
Maybe in other regions where the licensing was different.
Some really great songs. You forgot Angel by Gavin Friday.
I mean, look, that's why I didn't put all the songs, because like we were talking about, there's a lot of like... This song sucks. I have no idea who this is, and this isn't even in the movie. But they were like, look, a CD has to have 12 tracks, so...
And the thing about...
Even if people, all people want is the Cardigans' Love Fool, and who could blame them? A song worth $20 on its own.
Everclear had a song called Local God. I did not have this soundtrack, Tom.
Yeah.
I never saw this movie. This was one of the things, like, in high school, I was like, I'm not cool enough to see this movie. The Romeo and Juliet
adaptation. I'm not cool enough for Shakespeare. Yeah. John Leguizamo's in it, Tim.
I love John Leguizamo. What was that stand-up special you liked from him so much?
Does it have? I'm not saying that.
Everclear. I was a big Everclear fan.
Yeah.
I don't know this song.
Oh, well, it sounds like you got to go out and pick up the soundtrack. That's Tim, the so you other can thing. Be a completionist.
A lot of these soundtracks are not on the streamers.
Yeah.
Which is a real
must be
bummer.
Rights issues, right?
It must be rights issues, but then these are just songs lost to time.
Yeah.
I bet they're on YouTube. Whatever.
I mean, I was looking at Batman Forever, which I'm sure it's on your list, and that you can buy on iTunes, but I don't think you can stream it on Apple Music. So I don't know what that's about. And I might be wrong.
Okay, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I bought on tape.
Okay.
And it is on Apple Music.
I see. Yeah.
Music from the motion picture soundtrack, Coneheads.
Yeah, that was another banger of a. I mean, that's one of RHCP's best songs.
Tom, now that. Is a it's soul to squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
They still play it a lot on Sirius XM's Lithium,
yeah,
and 90s on 9, probably more than any other track from Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
More than any other track from the Coneheads soundtrack.
No, but yeah. this was a Blood Sugar Sex Magik B-side or outtake.
Right,
it wasn't a B-side. It's the best song from that era.
Yeah, it's a very, very
not just
good
from
song.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, from anybody.
Yeah, and it has an.
I've got a bad disease.
It's got a really good video too. They're all working at the circus in black and white.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was like a. It was one it of those
been
like.
A bit
like. In that era of 90s, they were getting real into, like, let's make artsy videos. But that's one of those ones where it's like, oh, this works.
Yeah.
I like this.
A couple of other highlights. Magic Carpet Ride. You Don't Know.
Yeah.
Performed by Slash. Tainted Love.
Mm.
Featured prominently in the movie. REM's It's a Free World, Baby. That's a good song. Fight the Power, the Public Enemy song, as performed by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, well, that's who you want to hear from.
A pre...
yeah, pre-fame.
Yeah.
Bare Naked Ladies. Like a pre...
1 week?
Yeah, 1 week, I guess, is their first big hit.
And then the last track... A little song. And
Bare Naked Ladies' version of Fight the Power, was that about like the manager at a store?
Yeah, I mean, they're also Canadian. It was like, what are you coming up against, guys?
Yeah. The permits to go to the parks are too expensive, eh?
Beldar and Primat, Tom.
The characters from the motion picture.
Performed Conehead Love. I don't want to have to hone my cone alone.
I do. I don't want to hone my cone alone. Yeah, I remember that song.
They had to stop doing these things. You don't need in-character songs. Yeah, on the that SNL aren't movie
in the
set.
Movie.
Yeah.
You don't need to get Dan Aykroyd into the studio to sing a song.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
You know what? Next, I'm going to go with the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Ooh, double D's.
Dirty Dancing.
I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, and I also said Dirty Sanchez.
What
a bunch of... we're getting back to our 90s teenage selves here.
Jesus, is this turning into a Barstool podcast?
Dirty Dancing, first off, it's got like all those like 60s songs that everybody goes crazy for.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's got... Eric Carmen's
I wish.
Hungry Eyes.
Yeah.
Hungry Eyes. Mm-hmm. Love that song. I remember listening to that song all the time when my mom would, I don't know, go to 7-Eleven to get milk or something, and I was left in the car. Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes' Oscar-winning I've Had the Time of My Life.
And I owe it all to you.
Yeah. But the biggest surprise on this album, which I didn't really know about. I did, but I was like, I haven't thought enough about this. You know that? Where it's like, oh, I know this, but this hasn't fully hit me. She's Like the Wind by Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah.
She's Like the Wind. Why were we not given more music from Patrick Swayze? I don't know. That's for like an 80s ballad. That's a pretty good song.
Okay.
So that's my next pick, Dirty Dancing.
It's good. It's hey, Tom, that's a classic.
Yeah, stone cold classic.
Can't argue.
I mean,
with that
was also like a huge seller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it had like nostalgia, but not anybody, like it wasn't like the silent generation was like, oh, cool. Like,
yeah.
But that Time of Your Life song, and I'm not talking about Green Day. Right. Tom, mm-hmm. My number three. Are we going to have time to do all of ours?
But we might have to like speed up, but yeah, sure. Yeah.
Kevin Smith's Mallrats.
Oh, yeah. Who's on that? I don't think I'm familiar with that soundtrack.
Tom, some classics.
Okay.
First of all, it's 25 tracks because every other track is dialogue from the movie.
But at that time when it was like, you know, the movie probably took like 9 months to come out on video.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, the big song, Tom, here,
mm-hmm.
What's the big word? Suzanne by Weezer.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Classic.
Huge Weezer B-side.
Yeah.
It's hard to get otherwise. And, like, definitely one of the best songs that they've made, I think.
Absolutely. That is, I mean, that's a top 15. No, yeah. That's a top 25 Weezer song, right?
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Because... They have 25 good songs, the first two albums, and then the associated B-sides.
That's like way up there for me. That's yeah. One of my favorite Weezer songs.
It's got this Silverchair song called Stoned. It's like, stoned, sitting in my bedroom, spinning. And I was like, whoa, a song about drugs. This is cool. I'll never do drugs, but this is cool. there's a Bush song on it. But there's a song from the band Girls Against Boys called Cruise Your New Baby Fly Self. It's just a good song, and I always wanted to get more into Girls Against Boys, but they didn't stock any of their records at our local music store, so that's all. That's always a dead end.
I mean, and we had like a very, very, we were extremely lucky. We lived very close to Looney Tunes, which they're still open, right?
Yeah.
But like a very, very good indie music store that had tons of shit. And like, if they didn't have it, they could get it. Did you ever ask them to get it?
No. Eli Janney, who is that? He was in there. Okay.
You want to share it with everybody?
No, he's just a guy.
Okay. What am I up to? Number three?
Yeah.
Number three, you know what? I'm going to say the Judgment Night soundtrack, even though I'm not real familiar with it.
You just love rap rock.
Well, I just think it's... Tim, listen to some of these mashups they had.
Right.
They got Mudhoney. They're mm-hmm. like, all right, we got The Rock. Who do we combine that with on the rap side? Sir Mix-a-Lot. Mudhoney and Sir Mix-a-Lot. Where else are you going to hear that? Sonic Youth and Cypress Hill.
Right. And then, that was a good one. What song did they do?
I don't have the songs written down.
Damn it,
Tim. I only have so much room here to write things down. And then Fallen by Teenage Fan Club, De La Soul, Tom Petty, and Jeff Lynne. It samples Free Fallin'.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
But
I mean, those are four names you never expected to see together. Two of them you did expect to see together. They were in the Traveling Wilburys together. but the others, certainly not.
What was it? Onyx and Biohazard did an awesome version of Slam, maybe?
Oh, is that?
Oh, no, they did the song Judgment Night, but they also did a version of Slam, but like not on the soundtrack.
I just remember Judgment Night, the song, being real scary sounding.
Yeah. I mean, it's the two scariest bands. Biohazard, who was just like, I think these guys will kill you, and Onyx, who were just like, they're yelling so much.
Yeah. They're telling me to let the boys be boys.
Yeah.
I just remember, I do remember seeing that movie, but what was the premise? It was like, I think it was just like a bunch of white guys like stranded in the inner city for a night, like something like that.
I don't know. Emilio Estevez was in it.
Yeah, that was...
I was led to believe that the movie was a lot more badass than it was based on like all of the scary acts all the scary bands they put, like,
right.
The scariest metal bands with the scariest rap.
Yeah,
acts.
And it was just like, this is going to be like an action horror movie that's going to be fucking crazy. And it kind of wasn't. I think it was like one of those movies where there's like a lot of scenes in empty warehouses where people are like, well, what are we going to do now?
Right.
That was also like Emilio Estevez at his... I don't know if it was his acting prime. I don't know if he's had one. But that was when he was like at his like peak popularity, where mm-hmm. you know he was like an A-list guy. And same thing with his brother Charlie Sheen. That was also when like Charlie Sheen was in like a ton of random movies.
And then they teamed up for Men at Work, and it was legendary.
Yeah, you remember that Charlie Sheen movie Arrival? I think that's what it was called. It was like
it was
aliens.
Like an alien movie.
Yeah, and it's such a weird movie. I don't know. Like, I gotta rewatch. I rewatched like
you
a clip
you
from the
don't
end
need
of it.
To rewatch it.
I gotta rewatch it. It's probably great.
My number two, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Bought this one on CD. Tank Girl.
Oh,
a movie I never saw.
I saw the movie. I forgot about the soundtrack because that was another like all-star soundtrack, right?
Tom, I'll tell you this. It's confusing. It opens up with a song by Stomp. So this guy's
wow.
just kind of like
hitting brooms against cans and stuff.
Yeah, it's just like garbage cans smacking together. But then
and you're listening to it saying, I paid $17.99 to hear this.
Yeah, and then Army of Me by Bjork starts playing. That's a hell of a track. Do you know that song, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
And if you complain.
Yeah.
Once
oh,
more.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, it would go like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There was a Magnificent Bastards song, which mm-hmm. was a super group who I never was clear who was on it, but the lead singer was...
Was Chef Lynn in it? That's
Scott
all I gotta
Weiland,
know.
And they sang that song, Mockingbird Girl. I think this was the only track they ever did.
Okay.
But L7, Portishead, Joan Jett, Veruca Salt,
mm-hmm.
They were all on it. So how dare you say that I think women-fronted bands should have no place, Tom? This
they
is my number two soundtrack.
They deserve to be on soundtracks.
Yeah, and there was a Devo song that was cool, too.
My number two, Tim, Batman Forever.
Number two?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
We'll get to it. Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me. For some reason, this is credited as U2 and Bono. on iTunes at least.
Was that fella looking to maybe go solo at some point?
Was
there a rift
know.
Between The Edge and Bono?
Yeah, I don't know if it was that or if it was like a royalties thing where it was like, well, if it's U2 and Bono, I'll get a quarter of that U2
yeah.
money and then half of all the money. But yeah, that of course
Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Yeah, another huge hit. But like crazy other bands, PJ Harvey, Brandy, Offspring, Nick Cave,
Smash It Up, Smash It Up. Do you remember that song?
Yes, Method Man, Sunny Day Real Estate,
mm-hmm.
and the Flaming Lips.
Yeah, probably the best Flaming Lips song appears.
Oh, really? I'm not familiar with that song. I listened to it.
And you hate your boss at your job. You know that song?
Meanwhile, I'm saying this is my second favorite soundtrack, but it's just based on really the handful of songs that I know well. But I mean, that album was basically a like Warner Brothers 1997. Sampler, 1995, maybe?
1995.
Yeah. There's just like Warner Brothers music sampler.
Exactly. I mean, Kiss from a Rose alone makes that.
Oh, and I think that's probably what, like, I don't know if that album went platinum, but it probably did. I think Kiss from a Rose, they did put out as a single because it became, you know, just like such a phenomenon.
Tom, I got freaking news for you. It's
what?
Two times platinum.
Whoa.
Certified.
Okay, so this isn't unofficial.
No, it's the Recording Industry Association of America.
All right, well.
The RIAA. We know them. We love them. They certified this. There's nothing we can do about it. Yeah, it's and Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
It's a good...
Is that the best U2 song? Like,
it's one of my favorite U2 songs.
I know yeah. like Where the Streets Have No Name and
right.
One are like better songs, but you've
Ooh,
heard
I
them.
I do really like One though.
I know, but you've heard them a million times.
Yeah.
That comes on like you're like I know every contour of this song.
Yeah.
But that riff in the beginning
yeah.
with all the strings, it's so cinematic.
Yeah, was that when they were in their like Pop Mart era?
I think it was.
Or when Bono was being the devil, he had like a
Mephisto.
Yeah,
maybe
that was
yeah.
before Pop Mart. But I don't know. It was like a very. It was U2 taking chances, which I liked
in the most epic way possible.
Yeah, it didn't sound like other U2 songs, which is maybe why Bono insisted on having his own credit on there.
Okay, Tom, that was my number one.
Oh, okay, so what's your number two?
I'm one ahead of you. I
oh, so you don't have any more.
But here's an honorable mention.
Okay,
Tom, it's something that you and I both ran out and bought the day it came
out.
It's
probably my number one.
Our ones and twos just are we talking about two?
Godzilla.
Starring Matthew Broderick,
yeah,
the 2000 film. Yeah. 1998. What am I saying? 2000.
Yeah, 1998. Godzilla. I mean, we bought it because they had Foo Fighters A320.
Which is a song that you cannot find fucking anywhere.
Yeah, they never like put that out on anything else.
It's all about, it's a song about how Dave Grohl is afraid of flying in airplanes, and he literally says, I am afraid of aeroplanes.
Yeah. He's being very vulnerable.
The mid-90s, the mid to late 90s was a big time for alt-rock acts using the word aeroplane in songs.
Red Hot Chili Peppers say it's a great effect.
Yeah.
But it also had the Wallflowers cover of Heroes. Mm-hmm.
Which for a while, I preferred to the David Bowie version. Yeah. I'm over it now, though.
Puff Daddy, Come With Me.
Sampled Kashmir.
I thought he came up with that riff.
Famously performed that on SNL with Jimmy Page. Include at least the SNL version. I don't know if this was hastily rewritten, but had the line, I want to fight you, I'll kick and bite you.
Yeah. Now you thought that was rewritten?
I thought maybe that was something that like was more explicit.
Oh,
than the
I
want to
fight you. I'll fucking bite you.
Or I don't know.
I'll flip and bite you.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the whole thing.
I'll fucking bite you.
Maybe the whole thing was like fucking fuck with the motherfucking fuck. You know how this rap music is.
Yeah. You know how Jimmy Page is.
No Shelter by Rage Against the Machine. This is a pretty good.
Yeah.
This is a Ben Folds Five song. Mm-hmm. Air.
Fuel, Green Day, Silverchair, and everybody's favorite band from Puff Daddy's label, Fuzzbubble.
Fuzzbubble was pretty good. they were the first rock. They were billed as the first rock band signed to Bad Boy Records.
Yeah, the first and last rock band. And I mean, I kind of feel bad because they are pretty good.
Yeah.
Fine. And it does kind of stink that it was like, I don't know, they signed to a label where I'm sure they were told like, you're going to be the first of many rock bands. And then they were just like, nah, why are we doing this? We're not going to sign rock bands.
Yeah.
So maybe if they went with somebody else, they would have, maybe they'd still be here today.
Do you want to
Maybe they're still around.
A track that you neglected to mention.
What?
Was Brain Stew. The Godzilla remix.
I mentioned Green Day.
Well, guess what? That was not credited to Green Day.
Who was it credited to? Godzilla himself?
Green Day featuring Godzilla.
So it was credited to Godzilla.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, I'm also all for like take your hit single and put some sound effects from the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That only makes songs better if they have movie sound effects in them.
And it's technically for the completist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you bought Insomniac or whatever
and
Brain
Stew
was on.
And thought you had heard every version of Brain Stew there were.
Yeah. There's going to be Godzilla sounds on this one. So go to Tower Records. So this soundtrack was probably like $21.99.
Yeah,
it probably
I think it had like a hologram or some
gold
dumb
foil
shit. Yeah.
Thing on it or something.
Well, I feel like that Godzilla soundtrack was like kind of the pinnacle of like 90s music soundtracks where it was like they actually got a bunch of good bands and like not great songs, but like cool songs. It was probably like the best value for money of like 90s movie soundtracks. But then, I don't know, pretty soon after that, I mean, even before like Napster, they started going the way of the dodo, I feel like. Right?
Maybe.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they were still around kicking. But they weren't as big as sellers, I feel like. And I feel like Godzilla soundtrack probably wasn't as big of a sales hit as they were expecting it to be.
Maybe. I don't know. I think
those partially because that that movie underperformed.
Yeah, I think everything about that was a flop, but I think they're also like that's all gravy on the as far as
true.
The record companies.
I mean,
concerned.
That was also like, when like the record companies were just printing money.
Yeah, and they were just like get some outtakes, not even B-side, stuff that weren't even relegated to B-side status. throw them on there.
Unfinished songs.
Or take a hit, put some Godzilla sound effects on it.
Yeah.
And just throw it out there.
Hey, even if we have to give Godzilla a cut of the royalties, it's fine. There's enough money to go around.
Yeah. If you like the show, were you going to do that or were you going to say something else?
That's what I was going to say. We were going to do the Godzilla thing all over again.
Wow.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. Hey, we got a live show coming up.
Shit, we got a really...
No, Tim, you say, oh,
no, no,
boy,
no, we
got to
start promoting it.
Yeah, not, we have it figured out.
Tom, I got to figure it out. I'm pointing to my head right now.
I can confirm.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. This is going to be the best show.
tcgte.com/live. It's at Caveat, New York City, October 5th. And you can also buy streaming tickets for a discounted price if you are elsewhere and you can't get there. Patreon.com/completeguys, where you can get books, a podcast, and more. This week, an episode of a new show on our Patreon. Tim and Tom Talk Tabloids. We got some tabloid newspapers.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how it goes. Maybe it's no good, but sign up. Patreon.
We're trying things.
Patreon.com/completeguys.
Actually, look one thing back
it's
in your
already,
feed right
yeah.
now.
Well, if you're a subscriber.
No, look one thing.
Oh,
we've unlocked
we put out
a
bonus show.
Who Wants to Be a Booksmanaire episode. We're doing fun things over there.
Yeah.
I'm wondering... I'm a little more loose-lipped on the Patreon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, we put that thing out on the main feed.
Yeah.
Wondering if I said anything that I preferred to have behind a paywall.
Huh. I wonder that, too. I mean, I didn't listen to it to check.
No, I know. Because I listen to this show to check when I edit it. But
I know the week before you gave out your Social Security number.
Yeah. Man, that
and
was
dared old. People to hack you, like the CEO of LifeLock, which I don't even understand
that guy's
what
dead,
you were
right?
trying yeah. to promote. No, I read a thing that apparently that guy has gotten his identity stolen like a dozen times. Follow us on Instagram at TCGTE. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal Tim.
Reddit.com/r/TCGTE. And our Discord server, Complete Guide. I think that's all the things.
Hit up the Discord, Tom.
Yeah, Discord's fun.
Vulture, which is a bird, did a list of the top. Number one was American Graffiti. And it was like, oh, there were songs from the 50s. And Wolfman Jack was on it.
Well, Tim, you love Wolfman Jack.
I do love Shaft. But again, that's on the shit pile because Isaac Hayes.
Right. Hey, get out of here. What are you trying to pull?
It's a singular vision.
That's a real album.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? I like freaking that guy as much as the next guy, T-Bone Burnett. I like that guy as much as you can like a guy named T-Bone.
Yeah.
His production style is good. Nobody's sitting down and listening to a man of constant sorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's an example of a soundtrack that's like phenomenal for the movie, but not necessarily something you're going to
sane person is going to listen to in 2021. The Harder They Come, this actually should have been number one on mine. Scott
what
and
is
reggae.
That, a porno movie?
No, it's Jimmy Cliff. Saturday Night Fever, shit pile, that's Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Because it's a singular vision.
Right.
Pretty in Pink, Before My Time. Rushmore was a good soundtrack.
Yeah, I remember that being...
obscure British Invasion. See, Rushmore, I know you don't like Wes Anderson because you think he's too cute.
Of his stuff.
He's so cute in his little tutu.
His little hat while he's directing.
I will say, in the hands of a lesser director... Mm-hmm. They would have tried to go for really well-known British Invasion songs, stuff that we've heard a million times.
Right, right.
And he really went crate digging on that one.
Yeah.
Something to be said for that.
The Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah. Kill Bill, Tom?
You know what? I have Kill Bill in a category that I've included Guardians of the Galaxy and Baby Driver, where...
Yeah.
I don't like when they try and get too clever with the soundtracks.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, look, that's not the Kill Bill movies, I think, are great. I liked Baby Driver. You said Kevin Spacey should have won an award for that, right?
What were we talking about?
Baby Driver.
I've never seen it, Tom.
Guardian-
I boycotted it because I knew he was a creepy to men.
Guardians of the Galaxy, same thing, where it's like, I like these movies and I like all these songs individually, but I don't like people just trying to get people trying to get clever. And then also like in Quentin Tarantino's just trying to show like, look at how knowledgeable I am of like 70s music.
Yeah.
But the music is still used for like very good effect in the movie. I guess I like the use of the music in the movie, but I don't like the soundtrack, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What you watched the film Cruella.
Yes.
What did you think about the needle drops in that movie?
I like don't really remember them now, but
there was one every like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'm just not a real big fan of that just because it's like it's there have definitely been instances in movies where they do that and it's really cool. But now it's just such a thing.
It's the same thing as freaking what all movies are now, where it's just like, hey, here's some recognizable shit.
Here's something, you know,
here's something, you know, you like this, this like. Yeah. Does this releases a brain chemical?
Yeah.
So we're just gonna do that. Here's a character, you know. Here's a song, you know. We're gonna marry the two, and then you're gonna freaking.
You're making a jerk off motion. along with in the shit pile list, which again sounds bad, but we don't mean it that way. Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Big Bottom is the best song that's ever been written. They're all playing bass. This is hilarious.
Yeah, but again, it's like it's a singular vision.
I met her on Sunday. Twas my lucky bun day.
The Drive soundtrack I like a lot.
Again, I was thinking of Baby Driver. Kevin Spacey isn't in that.
I like that soundtrack, and like that
Goose.
The
Goose.
Yeah, and that is there's a lot of like chill wave music in it and synth wave music. So like I did find bands that like I now like that I listen to as a result of that. And then this one's not in, I wasn't aware of this, but the Empire Records soundtrack.
Yeah.
That was one that I felt like at music stores, they were always pushing super hard. Probably because they were like, this is like us, we're at the music store.
Empire Records I never got into, and I should have. But
I never watched it, and I don't know why.
I didn't watch it at the time, and I watched it later, and I know it had a like profound effect on people when they were like 15.
Yeah, at a formative age.
And then I watched it when I was like 20, and I was like, oh, I'm too old for this already. Sorry, this should have watched it a couple years ago.
Well, maybe you can go back in time, do that. Then what was?
If I go back in time, I'm going to invest in various cryptocurrencies, Tom.
I was thinking recently about that movie Frequency. You remember that movie?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And he's like, invest in Yahoo. It's like, you got to include some information about when to sell that, pal.
Tom, this is the third time you've used that bit on this podcast.
I want to warn anyone that has
you're honing it. It's
any
nice.
Any way to communicate to the past through a ham radio, tell people when to sell if you're going to tell them stock to buy. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.